One day you would call me, and I'd awaken from my sleep. And you'd take me just the way I am, and you promise me you'd keep me. 'Cause when I cry,
what you're about to hear are the testimonies of people whose lives have been touched and changed by Jesus Christ. They are all currently involved with an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel Bellflower called New Life Ministries. Their stories and experiences are true, and it is our sincere prayer that God would use them in your life for His glory. That by them, you would not only find comfort, but new life in Jesus Christ.
Won't you make it? Jesus, from now on, you're always welcome here. Jesus, from now on, you're always welcome here.
And Lord God, we would pray at this time that these testimonies, Lord, are going to be put in our tape ministry, that people will be able to check them out and hear these testimonies of these people. And God, it's hard to argue against facts that you've changed these people's lives. And Lord God, I thank you for each one of them that's going to come now. And I pray, Lord, that you anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that God, you'd come down on them mightily, and that all that they would say and do would be pleasing in your sight and done in an orderly manner that would bring praise to your name. And I ask it in the name of Jesus and give thanks. Amen. Okay, we're going to ask, I think I'll ask Rick and Joyce to come now, husband and wife, and give their testimonies, if they don't mind. Okay?
The fact that John asked both of us up here, I really appreciate that, because we're one in Christ Jesus. We weren't in the world. We lived together. We were married, but we weren't one. I know that the biggest part of my testimony, it starts off the deliverance from drugs, because that was one of the issues of my life that became paramount. Personally, for me, alcohol was a symptom of a whole lot of other problems in my life. It was just the way I dealt with my own problems. The world offered me escape through alcohol and drugs, and I took it. And I don't pretend that I did it for any noble reason. I like getting loaded, and that's exactly why I did it. I didn't do it for any other reason. There for a long time, I spent a lot of my life kidding myself and covering up my reasons for drinking. But when the Lord deals with your heart and He takes you to the root of your problem, He makes you look at just what it is that you're involved in. And what I was involved in was getting loaded and really enjoying it. I didn't want to give it up. I laughingly say now, I said, I really don't have a drinking problem. I have a want-to problem. I don't want to stop drinking. It was a funny thing. The Lord showed me later on, I used to laugh and joke using that bad joke as my reason for drinking. I just don't want to stop. One day the Lord convicted me by showing me, and I, at that time in my walk with Jesus, is that I don't have a want-to problem. I have a have-to problem. I have to drink. That's when I knew that I no longer controlled my destiny, what I believed was my destiny, but the alcohol controlled my life. And everything I did affected my wife. She has that part that when she came to the Lord takes both individuals, takes you apart, keeps you together, yet takes you apart and delivers you from what you're bound to. I was bound to drugs. I received the Lord. I went to so many altar calls. I can't remember how many altar calls I went. I was saved by everybody. I every time somebody came to town and said, "You're a sinner," and I'd say, "Yeah, you're right. I like to get loaded," and I knew it. among my problems, that was one of them. But I knew generally I was a sinner. I'd lied, I'd cheated, I'd done a whole lot of things that, if you look at the Ten Commandments, I couldn't get past. I love God. I didn't love Him with all my heart and soul. I blew it there. I really didn't believe that I put any other images in front of Him, but I did. I put sports. I put alcohol. I put sex. I put myself. I put everything before God. Everything. And the last thing I'd get around to would be God. And then only out of desperate need. Well, my conversion really starts with my commitment to the Lord Jesus. I had said yes a lot of times with my head, but I had never said it with my heart. And I was in Melody Land, and Reverend Wilkerson was giving an altar call. And I said, Jesus, I've heard that so many times. He was calling. He says, you that are heavy laden, the verse out of Matthew, that are burdened and heavy laden, come and take my yoke upon you, for it's light, and to roll my burdens over on the Lord. Well, at that call, I said, Lord, I've tried everything, and I had tried every kind of mind trip you can get into to make a better person of yourself. But that day, the difference was between head and heart was I made a commitment to go past the cross. Not only did I come to Jesus and ask Him to forgive me of my sins, but I said, I'm going to do as best I can, which I knew at that time, the best commitment I had, which I had to renew over and over and over, that I would do the best I could to do what Jesus was telling me to do. It was 3 months later that I believed it was time for me to receive my baptism. So I said, for repentance sake, to give the out to the world evidence of an inward happening, I'm going to go and get baptized. And I want the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus had it. Just the way Jesus had it. I claim it. Lord, I want that. If you're real. Part of this whole thing was, if I found out the Lord was... Before I went down that altar call, I said, if I find out this is a bunch of baloney, I'm going to drop this faster than I've dropped anything in my whole life, just like a hot potato. I'm not going to waste any time with it. Jesus, if I find out this is all a bunch of bull, and that's why I said I had to redo that commitment later on, because when I found out, when I received the baptism in water, and I came up out of the water, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time, I was delivered from drugs. I don't mean I had to fight my way off deliverance. I was delivered by the power of God. No lightning, no thunderbolts, peace. I had peace, which I'd never had. And that was the sign that Jesus gave me. Even when I went into the baptismal tank, I never figured He would do that. All I asked for, I said, Jesus, if I'm a follow after You, I don't want no parting of the waters. I don't want all that stuff. I want a little of You every time I need You, if I'm going to walk as a Christian. That's what I want, Lord. But when I came up out of the water, He delivered me from my alcohol. And later on, I found out that I claim that it's such a miracle, at that time when it happened, it was so earth-shaking. I didn't know how to, all I could do was read the Word. I read it and just over and I ate it. I wouldn't eat anything else, hardly. It's not until I stand before You now I can say that was such a small potato. His delivering me from drugs and alcohol was so small compared to what He's done in my life. Because as I stand here today, He showed me and the things that He's taken me through, the rotten, terrible times that we've had, the beautiful, fantastic times that we've had, that Jesus has went right there with us. The thing that I see today is He didn't deliver me from the alcohol and drugs. He delivered me from me because I was killing me. That's really all I'd want to say. I'd just like to turn the rest of this over to my sometimes better half. I don't like to say that often, but nonetheless, she really is, because she stayed with me when it took a lot of love. because I wasn't very lovely. And to love the unlovely, it takes a lot of love.
I didn't expect this. I've been praying for all you guys that were going to have to share your testimony. No. Just let me hold on. I don't know what the Lord would have me share. I'm just kind of in awe. I cry. I don't want to say what I would want to say, but I believe that what the Lord would lead me to say is through all that we've been through and what Jesus Christ has become to mean in our lives has been healing. His love has restored a love that we didn't know existed or was possible. When if I cry, they're really tears of joy because I'm being reminded right now of what we've been delivered from and the reality of the love of Jesus and the healing power of God in our lives. It's more than words can really express. My heart feels like it's pounding out of my chest, but I praise God for the privilege and the opportunity to just share a little bit and to know that it's only the love and the comfort that God has revealed to us in our lives that enables me to sit here tonight and just share a little bit of what he's done for us. When Rick was into alcoholism, I kept crying out to God, as I understood him, and I didn't understand him at all, that he would do something. I praised God for AA and Al-Anon, OA, because they were stepping stones to the reality of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as I cried out to that God of a higher power, trying to understand when they said, he's there if you just believe him as you believe him to be. And I knew that there was something more, there was something missing. And there were sisters that God began to reveal to me, that drew me by his Spirit, that they could share the truth with me. And I realize now looking back that, see, I thought Rick was my problem. And that if God would just do something with him, then I'd be okay. And we had four teenagers that we'd raised up in the ways of the world. We offered them what the world said, if you give them, they'll be fine. If a family that plays together stays together. We coached, Rick played, I played. We had two boys and two girls, and our lives and our gods were baseball, football, and basketball. And from morning till dusk, we were on baseball fields or football fields or basketball courts, and we loved it. We loved it. If we had given ourselves to the Lord all those years as we'd given ourselves to the world, we may not have had to have suffered all that we had to suffer. But I know that God says he won't let us suffer more than we can endure, and he's always there to show us a way out. When Rick started to really fall apart, when God allowed the circumstances in our life to get so bad that the world no longer offered us any hope, our marriage was destroyed. There was no hope for that. There was no love left. The pain that we caused one another was deep, and we hurt each other deeply, scars and wounds that the world has no hope for. And I always wanted to say, if you had done it different, and he wanted to tell me if I had. And you know, when he started to really hit his bottom, I can praise God for that now. And our oldest son was 16 years old at the time, and I don't believe God would want me to go into the details, but just that you might know that no matter where our lives are at or how bad it seems, God has an answer, and there's hope in Jesus Christ, and the world didn't have any hope. Rick's alcoholism got increasingly worse. Our oldest son was 16 years old, and he had a psychotic, schizophrenic, drug-related breakdown. We didn't believe that could happen in our house. People who knew us believed that what we had was really good. They loved us, you know, in the world. we loved their kids, and we worked with them, and we won trophies. We had rewards. We loved those kids the only way we knew how. We taught them what the world said was good. And you know, even then, when we didn't acknowledge God, He was there. And godly principles work, and He's shown us that in our lives, that when we worked hard, when we believed in what we believed in and taught those kids basically good morals and good principles, it worked. But it's not enough. And when our oldest son had this breakdown and had to be hospitalized, I felt like I was going to lose my mind. I hated Rick. I didn't believe that if there was a loving and a caring and a good God that He would allow this to happen, because I didn't understand His love. The following year, our oldest daughter ran away from home, and she was but 16. And we received the Lord at that time. I had come to a place where I realized Rick had come to his bottom, and he received Jesus Christ. And I didn't understand that at the time, and to tell you the truth, it scared me. I wasn't comfortable with it, because when he received Jesus this time, he went with his whole heart, soul, and mind, and I felt I'd not only lost him to the world, now I'd lost him to this Jesus that I didn't understand. And he was hungry for God, and he was into the Word, and he was into tapes. And I praised God for Christian television, because we were prisoners in our own home. We didn't feel we could leave it. We were alienated. We had no friends who really understood what we were going through. But as time progressed, and it seemed as though things got worse, our oldest daughter ran away from home. Our youngest boy the following year was totally into rebellion. We'd lost control of him, and he was into drugs. It just seemed, you know, things just kept getting worse. And in the eyes of the world, it looked that way. But I know now, looking back, that God began to reveal to me, and He gave me a vision to understand what was happening, and I needed simple terms. I needed things I could get hold of, because I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I was saying, I want to believe what I'm hearing about Jesus, and I'm trying. But He knew my heart. And He says, for lack of knowledge and understanding, His people are perishing all around Him. And I know now what that means. Things got worse for a time, and at that vision He gave me, He showed me that it was like, it's like infection that's in a body, and a boil that takes time, you know, and it came to a head. And He was showing me that that pus and that infection and all that suffering that was going on had been there a long time. But in order to bring it to a head so that it could be dealt with, so that it could be cut open, lanced, and cleaned out, it hurt. It hurt bad. But that was the way to healing. And that's the evidence of the healing power of God, and how He allows all that poison, all that junk in our lives to surface, only for one reason, that He could reveal Himself to us. And that He could comfort us and love us and encourage us in the hope that we would learn not to depend upon ourselves or rely upon ourselves, as the Word says, but we would rely upon Him. And I had to. I got to a place where I had to. I didn't have any other choice. I was losing my mind. I was compulsive with eating. All I wanted to do was eat, sleep, and cry. And I praise God now through it all. He said that He wouldn't let me suffer beyond more than I could endure. And He's healed me. He's brought me to a place where I can share that hope and that love and that comfort with others. And I remember the very first scripture that God ever gave me, and I just feel like maybe I should share it, because I didn't understand, but someone spoke to me, and it was pressed into my heart, and I grabbed hold of it, but I didn't fully understand it at that time. And it was from Jeremiah, where Rachel was weeping for her children. And the Word said that she was weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. But He said, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your prayers have been heard and they will be rewarded. There is hope for your children and there is hope for you, and they will return from the land of the enemy. And I praise God for that, because I know that God's healing power is working through our prayers, that our children are being restored. It's not all happened yet. We're still waiting for some of the promises of God to be fulfilled. But He who has promised is faithful, and He said He'll bring it all to pass, and He's given us evidence. He's given us His Word. He's shown us. We have that conviction in our hearts where we were able to stand together today, not divided, not separated. But that's only been because of the healing power of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the reality of that in our lives. And I'm really thankful today. And I remember when I pondered on that word, it was so real to me, but I continued to weep and to cry. And it took time for me to realize that that word was saying Rachel wept for her children, refusing to be comforted, because I hadn't entered into that fullness of that reality of the love of Jesus in my life. And it took time. It's in every relationship. I'm discovering now my relationship with Rick. It's taken time to work on and to heal. And his love becoming real in our lives took time. And I'm healed today. And I know that he's working out that healing and he's completing it in our lives. And I praise God for it. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody asked me one time, said, "You really believe Jesus turned that water into wine?" And I said, "Well, for two reasons I believe it. The first reason is because he said he did. The second reason is because in my home, he turned that alcohol into furniture, clothes, and love." Praise God. Praise God. Deanne and Rod, would you like to come up, please? Part of new life. Been there from the beginning. So is Rick and Joyce. Been there from the beginning. I don't know. I'm pretty sure about them, but I'll speak for myself. I'll be here till I die. I believe, really. Rod and Dan.
Well, I tell you, I'm not too very good at this, and it's kind of a first for me, but. You know, a couple of years ago, if somebody had asked me to even come into a church, they had two things that they could have done. They could have either been ready to run or get hurt. You know, because that's the type of person I was. I was into the outlaw bikers, really heavy, and drugs and alcohol. I spent 13 years in with those people. You know, it really amazes me today when I think back of where I was and the drinking that I did and what it was doing to me. But through all that, the Lord was with me because I was raised as a Christian. But when I got into that, when I was about 18 years old, I started backsliding. And when I did, I went all the way to the bottom because I was riding with people like the Hell's Angels and Satan Slays and things like that. And the one thing that I think back on now that hurts me more than anything was one day in Stonewood, me and this guy out of the slaves were walking through a Stonewood down there, and this guy walked up to me, and all he asked me was, "Have you heard the word of God today?" And you know, before he could finish that, I spun around and I hit him so hard that he was parallel before he hit the ground. And my buddy turned around to me and he goes, "That's the way a slave should do it." You know, I think back of it now, and that's really true. I was a slave. I was a slave to whatever Satan wanted to put in front of me. And I praise God today that I've put Satan where he belongs. And that's under my feet. And that's where he's going to stay. And you know, the one thing that really makes me know that the Lord took the alcohol and stuff away from me was when we got married, I was drinking about a gallon of vodka a week. And I don't know whether anybody's had the problem I did, but the Lord, when I rededicated my life to him, he didn't set me free, because he knew that if he did, I'd say, "Well, wow, look what I did." You know, when I was on drugs, I got off of drugs myself, so I thought then. But I couldn't do that with alcohol. I tried to quit, and I'd go for 2 days without it. And I got the cramps and the shakes and things like that so bad that I'd have to send my wife down to get me a bottle. And then when she'd make me a drink, I'd sit there and I'd try and swallow it, but I'd wear half of it first. So that went on for a couple more months, and I decided, well, I'm ready. I'm going to try again. And I know this time it's going to work. But it didn't. I wasn't ready to turn it over to the Lord, because the Lord was the one that was going to take it, not me. There was no way I could quit it. But I'm a stubborn man, so I had to try once again. And those cramps and shakes and everything were still there. I couldn't make it through the weekend without drinking. And boy, after that second time, I went back even worse than I'd done before because I was drinking more than I'd ever drank in my life. And it was a couple months later that I realized that, you know, this booze was killing me. And it was on a Sunday night. I got up in the morning like I always do. The first thing I grabbed was my drink because I had to start my day out with a drink. And I've been drinking all day long. We went to church that evening and I come home and I just really started crying and praying. I said, Lord, take this away from me because I know I can't quit. And, you know, I went to bed that night sober. And I woke up the next morning, didn't have no desire for it, didn't have no shakes, no cramps, no nothing. And I know that was the Lord taking it away from me. And then for the Lord to even prove it to me more, I did, felt that I had to go to a doctor just to find out how bad this booze had tore me up. So I went to the doctor. And I thought, you know, mostly it was Deanne wanted me to go, but I thought this was a big joke. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with me. I get in there, my liver's gone, my pancreas is gone, and some other thing, you know. And the doctor told me if I'd have kept on the way I was going, I might have lasted 6 months, but he wouldn't have guaranteed it. So I thought, well, now what? He says, well, if you stay away from alcohol and everything, he says, you're lucky your liver and stuff will rebuild itself, but it'll take a year to a year and a half for it to do it. So we were going to a Bible study at that time. And boy, I just praise God for the Christian friends that I had, because we went to that Bible study. And this was 3 weeks after the doctor told me it'd take me a year and a half to be healed. And we got over to that Bible study, and it was in Rick and Joyce's house. And they wanted to know if anybody wanted prayer, and I said, yes, I do. And I told them what was wrong with me, and they started praying. We had an earthquake right then and there. And I mean, that was centered right in the middle of Lakewood. And I don't know whether anybody's ever been on top of an earthquake, but boy, it feels weird. But I knew when it started that I was healed. I had no more problems with my liver or anything else. And when we went back to that doctor, the doctor told me that I was perfectly normal. That he didn't understand why or how. But I was normal. You know, and we told him that we knew why. And we told him right then that it was the Lord. Well, he wasn't a Christian. We sure left a lot of tracks and stuff around for him and showed him just what the Lord can do. And, you know, it's just been such a blessing. Because I look around at some of the people that I used to ride with and things like that today. And, you know, I just really feel sorry for them. Because even when they go on their runs and things, they don't judge things by X amount of miles to get to where they're going. They judge it by how much it takes to drink to get there. And those, you know, like from here to Death Valley, you could start out with a quart, and that quart would be gone by the time you turn off 395 and start in the desert. At that time, you have to stop and buy another pint to get on to Death Valley to buy a half gallon for the weekend. You know, and I think of things like that now. And when I really need my crutch, I reach for my Bible instead. And I tell you, that's a lot better crutch than that alcohol ever could be. And I just praise God for it.
First of all, I just want to say that this is just such a super blessing. You guys can't even imagine. Ever since I was 7 years old, I've been asking the Lord to give me a husband that would serve the Lord with me. And this is the first time that he shared his testimony in a group. And it's just such a super, super fantastic answer from the Lord that you can't believe it. anyway, I wanted to share that with you. But I accepted the Lord when I was 7 years old and kind of walked here and there and up and down and all around. when I got divorced from my first husband after 10 and a half years, my parents were killed when I was 18 in a plane crash. I'll go back that far, just skim a little. And I lost my parents and I married my husband, the first husband the following year, and was married to him for 10 and a half years and had two little girls. And after 10 and a half years of marriage, he just came up to me one day and said, I don't love you anymore, and walked out. And it was kind of a shock, and I felt a lot of rejection. And The reason that I'm getting into this is that when Rod and I got married, or when we met each other, we really didn't even like each other. We kind of hated each other is actually how it goes. He was a biker, and I hated violence. And I don't even know how to explain to you how I got into this biker bar, but I was in this biker bar where I met him at the time, and he got into a encounter with a guy that was in the bar across the street that was bringing a shotgun over to shoot the people in the bar that we were in. And anyhow, this proceeded to be this big encounter and all of this stuff, and the guy that I was with went to jail, and a bunch of other people went to jail, and Rod was the only man left. I was on the back of a guy's motorcycle, and I didn't know the first thing about how to ride a motorcycle or anything else. And we had his Great Dane dog with us. So the dog ran along the side. I didn't carry it. But anyway, we met, and he had to take me home because I lived in Cerritos, and the bar was in Whittier, and it was a long ways to walk, and it was at night, and I wasn't going to walk through Whittier. So anyway, he took me home, and I was the last one to be dropped off of all the people that he took home. And I didn't like that very well because I was afraid of him. But anyway, he was very, very polite and very nice, and it impressed me. And he called me, and we started dating. He called me the first time for our first date. This is really terrific. He called me for our first date on a Sunday morning to go on a run with him. He called me about half an hour before we left, and he said, hello, and I said, hello, and he says, I'm Rod. I'm the guy that took you home from the bar the other night, and I've called everybody that I can think of, and nobody can go. And I would really like to know if you'd like to go on this run with me. And I says, boy, you know, I just can't pass that up. I'd love to. So anyhow, we went on this run, and we met, and we proceeded to date for a while, and I tried to ditch him, and I couldn't get rid of him. But anyway, the Lord brought us together, and the Lord proceeded through our relationship as it grew closer. We were trying to go down this path over here, and the Lord kept pulling us down this path, and we didn't understand what was going on in our lives. We just kept turning more and more to the Lord, and we were wanting to go away from Him, but He was drawing us close. And we got married after Rod was after Rod accepted rededicated his life to the Lord. And then we walked with the Lord. He got delivered from the alcohol, and then just recently, as a matter of fact, in January, we went through a separation in our marriage. And we had been without the alcohol for almost 2 years, and this is very heavy. I had gone through a lot of problems. I was upset by Rod. Our children had come into our home. There was a lot of discord in our relationship between him and I, and between the kids. It was a real strained relationship. We had a lot of problems due to alcohol problems, relating to each other, communicating with each other, being able to love each other and express love in true agape love. And it was a real struggle. And Rod did not have a consistent walk with the Lord. He would try to walk with the Lord, and he loved the Lord with all of his heart and soul, but he would go up and down and up and down, and it was just really hard. So anyhow, I left him in January, New Year's Eve, and then the end of January, the Lord ministered to my heart again and told me, it's time for you to go home. I want you to go home and love him with true agape love. And don't just love him, let me love him through you. Don't you do anything, just let me love him through you. I'm going to use you as my tool. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to give it the best shot I can. And I can't explain to you how it was at first. I went home, and I didn't love him, but I loved him. And it's really hard to explain, but I knew that the Lord was going to do some really fantastic thing and change our lives. And I trusted the Lord, and I knew that the Lord loved me. And because of that, he enabled me to love my husband. And anyhow, in February, well, we had been seeking marriage counseling, and the counselor suggested to Rod to read the book of Job. And he read the book of Job, and we went through a deliverance. And I cannot tell you what a difference that deliverance has made in our lives, how we can walk today. I just praise God for the love that he has for us and for each and every one of you here tonight. He loves each of you so much. There isn't anything that he wouldn't do for you. And all you have to do is open your hearts to him and allow him to show you, and pray and ask him to show you the things that he wants you to see in your life, that he wants you to do. And I promise you, as you open yourself to him, he will give everything to you in abundance and more than abundance. He has answered every one of my prayers. And I just thank you all for coming tonight.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your cassette over for side two.
Behold,
thank you.
It is true. To the glory of God, my life is made new. The more that I seek him, the more he's revealed. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim that I am.
I'd like to have Robin come now and give us a little of his testimony.
I won't be too long. I just want to say a little bit about what's happened to me and some changes I've came through and come through. And I could go back my life and it would really wouldn't edify nobody. It was really a big smut hole. And I know my mother would be hurt to hear me say that about my childhood that they give me, but it was one of just pain and tears and alcohol. And I was one of eight kids brought up in an alcoholic family who ratted the neighborhood till all hours of the night and found myself following right in their footsteps, and only a lot worse. I was got into the things that a teenager could afford, from sniffing glue to gasoline to eventually even mainlining Boone's Farm wine, if you can even think of that one. But 12 weeks ago, and it happened right here in New Life Ministry, I had found a new strength that couldn't have came from myself, because I've done everything. All the practical steps, the counseling, the changing friends, and the throwing pot out the window, to just any step you could go through that might look like you want to quit, you know, you want to change. I know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that gave me the strength to throw all of this away 12 weeks ago and to really change my life. And he deserves all the glory, because he's the one that did it. But also, I want to shortly plug this whole gathering, because of the important part that it played in its obedience to God. This ministry was a big, big factor in changing my heart and my life. I know you must have all heard all the little examples of how one coal would go out sitting by itself, but in a pile of other coals it would burn, or one little stick would break so easy, but with 10 other little sticks it's strong to harder to break them. And you know, I see it like I'm a bricklayer, and I know you could stack up a stack of bricks and they're real shaky and they'll fall, but you could stack them in a big pile, you know, and crisscross them and mix them and brace each other. And it's sturdy and it stands, you know. And I've found that strength within this fellowship. And because they are Spirit-led, God has been able to use them to strengthen me. And I look forward to every Friday night to come. And many of them are counting with me. How long has it been, you know? And I draw strength from that. Anyway, I just exhort any of you that we might sound a little strange the way we talk about all these deliverances, and some of you might think, well, he didn't have it as bad as me. Believe me, nobody could have loved being high any more than I have. And you know, Jesus gave an example of, if we abide in him like a branch on a tree, that we would grow fruit from drawing strength from him and his roots, and that fruit would be peace and love and long suffering. And I know that if you're abiding in the world, you're going to bear fruit of the world, and you're going to draw from that source, and it's sadness and just belly aches and tears and fights, and you know, it's so easy that Satan can use that when you're high. You can say a sentence and different expressions, and it means a different thing every just the tone of your voice. And I think of back at all the times I'd hurt my wife and hurt my friends just because of the tone of voice I used, and I thought, I didn't mean that way. But it wasn't their fault either for taking me that way, because they couldn't look in my eyes and know what I was coming from my heart, because my eyes were just wherever. But anyway, I could explain, go on and on, and as I could never explain a LSD trip to anybody who's never been there. I couldn't explain to you how it felt last night. My wife's on a women's retreat with Calvary of Downey, and I get on my knees by the bed last night with my two daughters, hand in hand, and pray for Mom and pray for ourselves, as a family, you know. And if you've never been there, you'll never know till you experience the peace that comes with knowing that God's got it all under control because you let him have it at the cross. Thank you.
Gilbert's going to give a little testimony. Gilbert, you have to, what you have to do with Gilbert, you say, Gilbert, you got 5 minutes. And if he takes 10, you're all right. Because if you don't, he'll take all night. And so, but Gilbert is part of New Life, and we've really been blessed by Gilbert, and Gilbert's been blessed by us, I'm sure.
Praise the Lord. I was praying and do what I was going to say, but all I can say is I used to, walk that walk and talk that talk. But through the grace of God and my Father, I've been saved, you know. And through the faith of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I'm here right now to give my testimony here. And when I was 12 years old, got in trouble for burglary. And I went to a county camp, and from there I met some friends there, and I goofed up in camp, and I went to reform school, and Fred C. Nowlin School for Boys in Whittier, and I stood there 27 months, and I came out, and I thought I was a pretty bad dude. Then I met some more friends, and then I started on heroin. First I started on marijuana, then on heroin, and all kinds of pills, reds, everything, acid, everything. And I heard a lot of people, you know, and I was a very selfish kid. I was disobedient. I had good parents, but I just didn't want to, I just thought I knew everything, and that I was a bad guy. And I pulled some robberies. I went to prison. I've been in state prisons 3 times. I've been in federal prison. And I came out, and I continued messing around, you know. So, In August of 1978, I got a hepatitis for a dirty needle, you know, it was heroin, and went to the hospital. And I got out of the hospital, and the doctor told me, he says, you know, your liver's messed up, you've been drinking a lot, and, you know, this hepatitis is bad for you. And I didn't believe him because at that time I was dealing heroin, and I want that money, I wanted good things, you know. And I made a lot of money, but I didn't enjoy it, you know. I used to go to a racetrack every day and get drunk. Me and my mother worry about me a lot. You know, everybody, my children, they didn't respect me no more. I had no self-respect. And then in August of the 20th of 1979, I got a tumor and a blood clot in my left kidney. And they told me they might have to... take it out, throw it away. You know, that scared me right there. Then doctor told me that I had a heart attack, and I never remember having one, you know. And they gave me an EKG or whatever you call it, and he said, yeah, you had a heart attack, but I told him I didn't know. You know, I never felt it. Well, anyway, I stood a month in the hospital. And then in November of that year, the 11th, 1979, I was in a traffic accident on San Bernardino Freeway, and we were burning to death in a car. There was four people in their car with me. And the reason I was in that car, because I went to a party to get loaded. And, they had a lot of cocaine, and I was what they call like big dealers with some big dealers. And I was all, you know, I felt my ego. Yeah, I'm with these guys. And I was selling leather jackets that were stolen. They were in the back of the trunk of the car. And we were burning to death there in the middle of the freeway there near Azusa Avenue. And for some reason, I was the only one that was conscious. The other three persons were, they were knocked out unconscious. And I reached over to turn the ignition key off, and under the engine, you know, the dashboard there, just blew up an explosion. And it hit me on the face. And anyway, I went back, and I tried to get out of the car, and I couldn't. The windows, there were electric windows, and the door, and I was kicking it, and I got scared, you know, and there's a bunch of smoke, and it was real hot in there, real hot. And then I seen some people stop. There was about eight of them, and they were looking at me, and I thought maybe I was dead because they weren't coming to the car, you know, to help me, you know. And I touched myself right here, and then I panicked, you know, and I said, I said, God, I said something. You know, I was, oh, God, please, Lord, you know. And it started getting real foggy in there, smoke. And it was so hot I couldn't stand anymore, so there was some smoke coming out, and I put my head on the smoke, and I started breathing, because I heard that if you do, it'll knock you out, you know. So I went unconscious. I don't remember anything until I felt some two hands underneath my armpits dragging me out of the car. And there was some guy telling me, hey, Mr. Run, you know, crawl, get away. And all my hand was all black. I was just all burned, you know, just suffering there. And when he was dragging me out, I had some loafers on, and I seen them, you know, when I started waking up, I see my loafers fall off, and they just burned, you know. And I thought I was in hell, you know. Anyway, I crawled out, and I crawled away, and they got the other three people out. And 30 seconds after they got out, the whole car blew up. All the windows, the top, everything just shattered. And I just, wow, thank you, Lord, you know. And I was then I was a Catholic, a so-called Catholic, because I never really went to church, you know. And I found out that when I went to Highway Patrol, they were giving this man that saved us, you know, a reward. You know, I mean, an award. And he was a Christian that saved us. And, you know, he was telling them how he saved us. And he said he was going to his mom's house, and something told him to stop. He's seen these people, but something told him to stop. So he stopped, and he asked them, is there any passengers in that car? And he told him that, yeah, but they're probably dead by now, you know. And then after I said he don't remember, he just blacked out, and he went towards the car. He put his hand on the handle, and he burned him, you know. It was too hot for him. So he took his shirt off and put it, and the handle broke, and his shirt disintegrated. Then he went and got a pipe, a bar, and took us out, you know. So anyway, when I looked at the picture, somebody told me he came out in the Herald, you know, and I looked in the picture, and I look at his face, and he was glowing, this guy, you know, Tyson, his name was. He was blowing, you know. Anyway, after that, I got out, and then in January, I got knifed. My arm here, I got a, my arm's less feeling here, and I got a big scar right here, about 50 inches. And then I went to a hospital, and I came out. I went to a drug program in Norwalk State Hospital. When I was in that drug program, I was there 10 months. And while I was there, I got introduced to this church, a Baptist church in Norwalk, and I went with this friend of mine there that took me out of the hospital there. And when I came back to the hospital, I couldn't stay there because it was a program where you had to like haircut people and, you know, you have to use a lot of foul language. I just couldn't cuss no more, you know. So anyway, I got out. I came here, and I was real sick. I was drinking a lot, you know. And one morning, my wife went to work. I was all alone, and I had been fixing again. I was sick. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to run out in front of a car. I was just hurting. I couldn't borrow money no more from nobody. I didn't want to steal because I didn't want to go to jail no more. I just wanted to die. So I just asked the Lord, you know. I just told him, God, I can't do it no more. Do it for me. Please, Jesus, you know. I went to sleep. You know, I couldn't sleep out for a month. You know, I had to wake up 3 in the morning and drink, and because I didn't have the money for drugs no more, you know. And anyway, he put me to sleep. You know, the Lord put me to sleep. And I woke up the next day, and I took a shower. I hadn't showered in about 4 days, you know, just laying down. And I went to the hall. I got work right away. You know, the Lord introduced me to my friend Steve that comes to this church. He told me to come to this church. But I went to one in Downey by mistake, you know, and but anyway, I went in there and I received the Lord right there, and I couldn't, you know, I'm walking and I got a Bible and I said, what am I doing with this? Ain't me, you know. I mean, I'm a bad dude, you know. I'm walking with a Bible, you know, and it felt kind of strange for a while. Anyway, I came here and one night I was sitting in the corner over there and with a friend of mine, and he was sick on heroin, and I brought him here to this. He came to my house for a fix, you know. He thought I was still dealing, you know, and I told him, I'll get you high, come with me, you know, and I brought him over here. And he received the Lord here, you know, and I met my brother Dick here, and Dick told us about the New Life Ministry, you know. So that Friday we went, you know, over there, and see, I think it's been about maybe 4 or 5 months I've been going there, and you know, I look towards Fridays, you know, to come here, because I met a lot of good people right there, you know. And there's people there that aren't in drugs or alcohol, but they have, you know, friends or somebody that, you know. I just felt, you know, I love people, you know. And, well, I could see my brother John's getting a little nervous, so. all I want to tell you is right here on this white pamphlet here in the back, I just noticed, I'm just going to read a few lines where it says, there's no better prize than eternal life in God's company and care. Can you imagine how wonderful it will be for the few that make it? God wants you to be one of those few. And I praise the Lord, you know, that He chose me, you know, from the beginning, and that He saved me from the accidents that I had. And that he made me a better man, because now I do have self-respect. My kids tell me they love me, and it's just a beautiful world, and I'm just glad, and I give God all the glory that I'm here right now, and able to tell these people that Jesus loves me, He loves us all, and God bless everybody, and wow.
John 10:10, it says that the thief comes to rob, to steal, and destroy. And we know who the thief is. That's Satan, the devil. But the rest of that verse says, but he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So the ones that have Christ Jesus will live forever, for eternity. And there's two eternities. You either live eternally in heaven or you live in eternity in hell. And but God sends nobody to hell. That's a person's choice. He gives us a free will to choose. And so I just want to put this opportunity out that there's someone here this evening that don't know Christ Jesus that really wants a new life and a new beginning. You can have it tonight before you go out that back door. It says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and that's new life and a new beginning. And so Jesus really wants to come into your heart. And so as Manuel comes to share a special song that's really, I feel, from the Lord, just let God speak to your heart right now and take inventory, your own inventory. Nobody's going to take your inventory but you. And you know how you stand. You know whether or not you have Christ. And so as he comes to sing this song, let's just take a time to take inventory of our lives. And like I said before, he says if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay, Manuel.
Before I sing this song, I also have a request that I would like for my beautiful daughter to come up here. Maybe she'll say a word or two. Come in over here, please, Dina. I'm very fortunate to have three beautiful daughters, two sons, and a beautiful wife. She just came to the Lord not too long ago.
I really don't know what to say because I've never been up in front of so many people before. But, you know, I really thank the Lord for working in my life. And, you know, my parents are the ones that really supported me because I went through a lot of rough times. You know, when you're 17 years old and, you know, getting up in the morning and drinking Bacardi to get through the day. And, you know, I really resented my parents because they just, they had the Lord right in their hands. They worked with him every day and they just asked him for his help to support me, and they never let me down. And you know, I was a really rotten kid. You know, it's kind of hard for a parent to understand why a kid would come up straight up to their face and say, "Yeah, I hate your guts. Just stay away from me." And the last about 4 years, they've gone through a lot of hard times with me. And recently I've seen them have this inner strength. And I was always in question, why? Why? How can they deal with all these problems and still keep going? And my dad kept telling me, "Hey, Jesus is the only way," you know? And I never believed him. And God, it's really neat the way he's changed our life. Our whole family life is just like so precious to me now. There'll be God, anybody that knows what your parents are like. My parents are the most beautiful thing that I have. And they mean a lot to me. And this man here has more strength than I don't know what to do with. He's so great. They give me the support that I need. I never thought that I could finish high school. That was my biggest thing. You know, I hated the word dropout. I was 17, and I missed out on a year and a half of high school. Never thought that I could do it. And my dad said, "You can do anything. Just ask the Lord to help you." And I graduated. I made a goal. I started school back in March 1st, I started school, and I had a year and a half, and I went up to the counselor, and I said, "What do you think? Do you think I can make it?" And he said, "You want to be honest?" And I said, "Yeah." I go, "Just be honest with me." He goes, "Well, you need 77.5 credits to graduate." And I said, "Wow, that's a lot." And he said, "Yeah, that's about a year and a half's work." And he goes, "I don't think you can do it." And that just got to me, and all I could see was my mom and dad. They wanted me to graduate so bad. So I said, "Well," I turned to the Lord, and about a week later I was baptized. And I said, dear Lord, if it's meant for me to graduate, you know, help me. And I set a goal. I said, well, I have to graduate before June. You know, I want to graduate with my class. So I said, I want to graduate before my class. I want to graduate by the beginning of May. And so I started school March 1st of this last year, and I graduated April 27th.
Now that I'm working with Jesus, and the word comes from above, calling on souls by the millions in His name and for His love, joining our voices together, let our message be His name. He represents our salvation and the right to make this claim. Holy Father, all I'm asking, give me time to help my Lord to round up all of your children and come knocking at your door. Holy Father, all I'm asking, give me time to help my Lord to round up all of your children and come knocking at your door.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I have to tell everybody that our Lord is on His way, coming to take all His people anytime on any day. Wonderful Spirit of Jesus is alive throughout this song, leading the highway to heaven, direct to our Father's home. Holy Father, all I'm asking, give me time to help my Lord to round up all of your children and come knocking at your door. Holy Father, all I'm asking, give me time to help my Lord to round up all of your children and come knocking at your door.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, we have Robin come and sing us another song, Robin.
A song about new life. Make my life a prayer to you. I wanna do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I wanna shine the light you gave through your Son. You sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. And I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say.
Oh, you're coming again. You're coming to take me away. I wanna die and let you give new life to me, so I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free. I wanna show the world out there you're not some fable or fairy tale that I've made up inside my head. You're God the Son, you've risen from the dead. And I wanna thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. For you're coming again. You're coming to take me away. I wanna die and let you give new life to me, so I might live and share the hope you gave to me. I wanna share his love, it set me free.
I just want to share with you that how important it is that you all came today, and it's no accident that God has got you here, and because you were obedient, because the Word says in Hebrews 10:26, I believe it is, do not forsake the assembling together, as some do, it says. And praise God that you didn't forsake the assembling together, because we had all that food over there that the Lord blessed us with, and so we're glad you all could come tonight, and we had a real good time. And just like to close in some prayer right now, if everybody would bow their head.
I've got blisters on my feet. I've run everywhere but straight to you. Now the circle stands complete, and I've no one else to turn to. And I'm out of breath and scared.
I pray that this tape has been a blessing to you. If you'd like any further information concerning these people or the ministry they're affiliated with, you can contact New Life Ministry, P.O. Box 1172, Bellflower, California, 90706.
What a glorious thing, winter is healed and grown into spring. My heart is mended by the love of the Lamb. The one who heals, the one who says I am. Oh, look, His will be done.
of my life.